Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar. For the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
Welcome to Killing Time, hosted by two girls and one ginger. I am pretty excited about today's episode, and I'm so excited that Jared's here because I don't know if anybody knows, but he is the biggest space nerd in the entire world.
Honestly, I'm mad that Matt wasn't here for this one because I'll post this to Instagram. This man's telescope is probably 6 feet long and has the girth of... probably a circle that's like 16 to 18 inches.
I have telescope envy.
I know. He does have the best telescope. Have you looked through his telescope?
Yeah, I could see like divots in the moon.
Oh, that's so cool.
And he, for some reason, knows how to photograph through the lens so he can get like take.
He's got
awesome
the attachment.
Yeah, he's a nerd too.
We gotta bust that thing out. I want to use that.
Once a year, I'm like, I hope it was worth the investment. Because
that's
the
telescope, though. You never really like when I bought it? Mine. I was like, well, I'm going to use this like every day.
But also, like what are you looking at? You know, I think it's a once a year kind of a thing. Because how different is the moon every time that you're looking at it?
Well, it depends on what angle you're looking at it from.
That's true, but still, you're sort of seeing the same thing.
Well, if you can show somebody Jupiter for the first time, that's kind of like you kind of get to vicariously watch them experience that. When you actually see that it's out there, it's pretty crazy.
Yeah, for me, Jupiter is hypothetical still.
Yeah.
Like, perhaps it exists. I need something tangible, and maybe the telescope is my opportunity.
Once you see it Galileo style, you'll never be the same.
Oh, that's so true. Did you know that the best gift that I've ever gotten from a brand, because obviously sometimes brands will send me makeup or skincare or clothes or whatever. You know, the brand Sunday Riley,
mm-hmm.
They like came out with an eye night cream, like a retinol eye cream. And to promote it, they sent me a telescope.
What?
Like a legit telescope that
like
we
gold.
Used that was gold and it was like wooden
four feet
engraved.
Long.
Engraved. It was beautiful. And we used it and looked at the moon.
I'm so angry that I don't have over 300,000 followers. Because, like, I want a golden dipped telescope.
We were like, what is this thing? It was this huge box and it was heavy. And that was the last thing I was expecting when I opened it up.
They got your attention because we just pumped
talked
up
about
sun.
It.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
It's
no,
brilliant.
It was insane. I was like, is this a rug that I ordered like on an Ambien sleep? Like pre-sleep like thing that I went on, but it was the coolest, definitely the coolest present. Yeah,
Sunday Riley.
Yeah, and Jared's wearing his NASA shirt.
Look at you,
just,
Jared.
It just happened that way. I didn't even plan it. I was
what
just wearing
a
my NASA
dink.
Shirt.
He's so cute. All right. Well, do you guys want to know why we're talking about space today?
Yeah, tell me exactly why we're talking about space today.
So the dark day, and this is, I mean, it was dark for them. It's a bright
no
time
light
in history.
Up there.
There's no light up there. On July 21st of 1969 at 2:56 a.m. and 15 seconds, Neil Armstrong becomes the first man to step on the moon. What a time in history.
I honestly can't believe it was in 69 because you look at, like, I watch, like, Mad Men and I watch things from that genre, you know, of that time period. And I'm just like, they barely had phones that were working. Like how did they know how to pressurize a space vehicle to not kill anyone?
It's insane. They're in like a tin can.
It's
if you think
really
about
amazing.
It, I mean, I'm pretty sure the processing power of the ship that they flew there was like less than you would have in your like Apple Watch.
That's what it was. Or it was like the old, it was microwave. An old iPhone. Because I remember this comparison from years ago. So, and like the iPhone 7 or something like that, which is just, so fucking crazy.
It's so impressive. It's so impressive that, you know, like the chemistry and the physics involved in all of that. And it's, I'm in awe of that, of those people. Because I just, I don't know how to program my VCR or whatever people are using these days. Or VCR is still in, okay.
Would you guys want to know a little bit more about the space landing?
I have
some facts. So it was Apollo. It was Apollo 11. I think that we all know that. And it was Neil Armstrong and Buzz Aldrin, who I fucking love. He's like the wackiest
Buzz
dude.
Buzz is the best.
He was so wacky. And they landed the Apollo Lunar Module Eagle, that's what the ship was called, on July 20th, 1969. And Armstrong became the first person to step onto the moon's surface 6 hours and 39 minutes later. And then Buzz joined him 19 minutes later, and they spent about 2.25 hours together exploring the site that they named the Tranquility Base upon landing. And they collected 47.5 pounds of lunar material to bring back to Earth, and these other two guys were in lunar orbit, and they were on the moon's surface for 21 hours and 36 minutes.
It's pretty crazy. By the way, those guys that were orbiting the moon while they were down there, they're going around the backside of the moon and like losing communication with everybody in existence for like, I don't know how long that was, but like at that point, you're the most alone that you could possibly be.
Like, that is so spooky.
Waiting to come back and pick these guys up.
Do you know what they have said about the dark side? Like, did they have any comments about that you know of?
Nothing that would be like that you want it to be. You know what I mean? Like, you really want it to be like.
Yeah.
Was aliens, their vehicle propelling them around the moon, or was it gravity? Or
it was, well, I'm pretty. Now we're getting into the technical side of it.
But we don't want to get too in the weeds.
I'm pretty sure at
this.
That point it is mostly gravity, though. They're
fascinating.
I think they do the burn to get out of the like orbit of the moon after they pick up the guys that were down there.
It's like my biggest fear, floating off into space, like George
the movie
Clooney
Gravity.
In Gravity.
Yeah.
Like that, and then like slowly dying. That is probably the worst way to go.
I think there are others.
I don't know.
I think there's others. Burned at the stake, Salem witch trial style, is pretty bad.
But you're going to die faster. Like that one, you're dying. You're running out of like oxygen slowly. You just are could not be farther.
You probably get really sleepy and like fall asleep before. Like when you get, you know, you probably
might have like a panic attack.
You probably get lightheaded. I think it happens less. Anyways.
All right. Well, that's how the day turns dark. You know, thinking about drifting off into space and slowly dying. So we're going to get into more of that later, but we have some bitching to do.
Please rise. Court is now in session.
All rise.
Call the first witness.
How do you plead? Guilty or not guilty?
Okay, so welcome to On the Stand. Every week we're bringing a person, place, thing, or an idea to the stand. We're either raving about it or bitching about it. Then we have a nice, healthy discussion, vote if it's guilty or not guilty. Then we bring it to you, our beautiful listeners on Instagram, to vote. So I'm going to let Jared go first, because depending on what he chooses is what I will choose. So go ahead, Jared.
Okay, well, what I have chosen for today is a texture-based topic.
Texture.
A lot of people love a crunch, including me. I love a crunch when I'm eating any type of food, as long as it's supposed to be crunchy. But I'm going to take the other side, because I also enjoy a softer texture. Like, let's say when I was younger, I would pour my cereal, right? And I put the milk in it, and then I'd like leave it for like a minute. And then it's kind of like.
Fine, but how long?
A minute.
Have you let
minute
it get to
half.
Mush?
Not mush, but not like super crunchy. And I'm also thinking about like a bread pudding. I'm thinking about these things that are, a lot of people are freaked out by this, but it doesn't bother me. So I'd like to put it on the stand, because I know this is going to be polarizing.
Wait, but you need to be more specific. I need to know. So like I've done the cereal thing where it's like a soft film and then a crunchy middle. If you leave it, depending on how long you leave it.
It's like a chia seed, how like you put chia seed in water and it gets the little gelatinous.
Yes, and bread pudding is like French toast that was never crisped in a skillet.
It is.
So like what exactly, like I think you need to pick.
I'm okay with letting it sit a little bit longer. I don't care if my cereal has turned into a soup, I'm good with it.
See, Jared and I have had this discussion privately many times because what I told, this is why I was going to wait for him, because I was going to put the crunch, I will live and die for the crunch. And I've realized in my adult life that if I don't have some sort of a crispy, crunchy, substance in my meal, I am unsatisfied. And that's why I realized why I have a gripe with Sugarfish, because Sugarfish, the sushi restaurant that everybody raves about LA,
Jack,
and New York,
used to love it.
I used to love it, but I realized the reason why I don't like it is everything is so fucking mushy.
Yeah, it's
can't
soft.
Find a crunch there.
Yep. There's no crunch.
But the quality of the fish is just the best.
It's perfect for me.
Yeah,
it's
great. I love it too.
You know what it would
I'm
be better?
I'm going to order it for dinner tonight, actually.
It would be better though if it was on a crispy rice.
Maybe.
Like if you had that like amazing salmon and then you just, or had a bite of something crispy to go along with it. I need crisp. I need crunch. But Jared doesn't. Like he is okay with his Chipotle order just being all smushy ingredients.
Oh no. When I get a Chipotle bowl, that's all mushy. I eat it with chips. That's,
yes.
I don't even eat it with a fork.
Exactly.
I don't need the chip. I don't need the chip.
I think that's wrong.
I think it's wrong too.
All right.
And that's why on a sandwich that would be mush, I put potato chips.
Exactly. You have to add the crunch.
You have
to. I don't chip my sandwich either. I love a crunch though. Like I'm here to defend the non-crunch.
You're here to defend the mush.
Yep.
Which
I knew I was going to lose this argument.
I think we're ready to decide.
I just think there's other people out there. You know, I might not be alone in this.
The jury's in.
Mush. Guilty.
Guilty.
Mm. Not guilty.
Mm. Okay, majority rules, friend.
All right, Lex, what are you putting on the stand?
Okay, this is going to be interesting. And I have a photo that I'm going to look at while I talk about this.
Okay.
So what I have, I sent Jack and Jared a picture of an ice cream. It's probably in Maine. Or something, but it's lobster, butter-based ice cream with real chunks of lobster in it. Yes, there is real lobster pieces in the ice cream. So this isn't just about lobster butter ice cream. This is about all savory ice creams.
Okay.
Because Jack and I one time, I don't remember which Salt and Straw location we were at, but Jack was like, let me try the Thanksgiving flavor. And it had turkey pieces and cranberry and all sorts of herbs and all those kinds of things. And, like, I know there are other savory ice creams with no chocolate. I'm talking the ice cream with, like, no chocolate in it. Like, no sugar. Like, the ones that are, like, vanilla-based with just all these things.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And I'm just not here for this. I think.
Where'd you find this picture?
I don't know. I saw it on Instagram or something, and I screenshotted it. And I found it ages ago for on the stand. I was like, I'm not okay with this. And I saved it.
Yeah.
And, I love ice cream occasionally, probably like 5 times a year. And I want like a scoop of chocolate or something like cookies and cream or mint chip is like my all time favorite. And it's like, this offends me. I want a lobster on a delicious buttered roll. Like, I don't want lobster in my dessert or turkey for that matter.
The only reason why that turkey ice cream was good is because it was like candied turkey. So it was almost like a turkey jerky
still not
for you.
No.
I agree with you here. I really do. However, ice cream 5 times a year is where I kind of have my hang up. That's like,
I had ice cream earlier today.
I don't like sweets. I do cheese instead of ice cream. I do like nachos or like Del Taco, you know?
Love that stuff too.
Like
love
that's the stuff. I want like a Crunchwrap Supreme instead of ice cream. You
and
know?
Honestly, like Salt and Straw is a huge, huge part of this whole like movement for like putting things in ice cream that aren't supposed to be in there. Like I think they had like a
not
mushroom.
Not supposed to be in there is the key.
Yeah, they're not. Like mushroom
but that's
ice
part
cream.
Of the shock. Wants, that's why people travel so far to go to Salt and Straw because it's
it
like, what
it.
Are they going to come up with next? And sometimes it doesn't hit. But my question, but you like a salty chip. Or something.
Oh, I like only want cheese and chips.
No, in an ice cream. Like you would do Jared, what was that ice cream at Jenny's?
It's Stephen Colbert's. Oh, no, sorry. I'm thinking of the Stephen Colbert's Americone Dream from Ben & Jerry. That stuff is so good. I think it has pieces of like, I think there's potato chips in it. And then like, I think it might be like waffle cone kind of stuff too. It's crazy. It's really good.
Honestly, like a salty chip.
That's
and
a little
chip
bit
ice cream.
Like I'm willing to be converted into potato in ice cream is a weird exception because we like French fries in a shake,
right?
You know, but meats is maybe where I'm drawing the line. Maybe meat and ice cream is my
let's
is
not have
the problem.
Meat. Let's not do meat in the
I'm
ice
done
cream.
With meat in the ice cream. No like a savory meat. Meat. Yeah, that's what I'm putting on the sand. Meats in ice cream. They don't belong together.
Yeah, I'm going to say guilty. And I still would try that lobster ice cream.
Yeah, I know you would try it because you're a masochist.
That's why they put it on the sign. They're going to get people like you.
Well, and also, I'm putting another like bonus thing on the sand. Don't put a lobster, a cute little antenna friend, on the like advertisement for lobster ice cream.
Yeah.
Or when you're like, hey, here's an advertisement for chicken and it's like a cute little chicken pecking.
Or
in
like
the
ham and it's a cute little
pig. Like, I already feel terrible about this. Like, let's not personify.
You just want,
like,
you just want the oblivion. You don't want to know.
No, and my poor vegan boyfriend like sees me eating like a chicken while chicken looks sad on the package. Like, what does he think of me?
Yeah.
I still do it. But like, I wish people would just use more interesting ads, like a delicious looking chicken on a table with a family around it who doesn't look happy in a field, you know?
Yeah. You know what I just found out? I just found out that Chick-fil-A, there is a location of Chick-fil-A that serves burgers, which I think is very strange because you know how all of their ads
are
like
cows.
And they're like, don't kill us, kill the chicken.
Eat more chicken, yeah.
Or eat more chicken, whatever. But isn't that weird that I'm like, you're going against your morals, Chick-fil-A.
Maybe they don't know. There's a rogue location out there and someone just decided to start serving burgers. Like, they need to look into this, I feel like.
They also have like a ham and cheese platter, which I don't even understand what that means. Yes, I learned all of this yesterday about a weird rogue location of Chick-fil-A.
Well, let's go because let's do like an expose.
Yeah.
Just don't put it in the ice cream.
Don't put ham and cheese in the ice cream. Okay. So guilty. Okay. So I'm putting something on the stand because I don't know how I feel about it. And I'm putting on the stand picking up money from the ground. We were walking out of the apartment the other day and there was a $5 bill on the ground. And I feel like I'm at the point, like when you're younger and you find money on the ground, you're like, yes, it's my lucky day. Like, I'm going to take that. And I need it because I'm a broke college student. I'm going to use this to buy myself a coffee or something like that. But it hits different when you find money on the ground as a mid 30-year-old. And I felt weird, but I picked it up anyways. And then it kind of lived in our car for a while. And then Jared ended up giving it to somebody in need, which I thought was very, very nice. But I don't know, like,
You were just the vessel for that money.
I was the vessel for that money, but I just felt, it felt, like, wrong. But, like, I know most people would pick it up, too. Like, I don't know how it would feel.
I'm actually glad you brought this up.
Okay.
Because I have two very important, I've been through two experiences, one of which was yesterday.
Okay.
I was at my dermatologist. And we talk about really weird shit because they're like examining you and then they make conversation.
Yeah.
And I think I was talking about some degenerates of the world. I don't know what rant I was on, but she chimed in and she was like, can you believe what people are doing with fentanyl and dollar bills? I'm like, what? She's like, people are putting fentanyl on dollar bills and then people are picking them up. And there's so much fentanyl on the dollar that it's like getting into their bloodstream and they're overdosing. I'm like, what? That's what she said. I did not Google it, but this is my dermatologist.
Did not confirm, but yeah, weird thing for a dermatologist to tell you if it was not true.
I would think it would be one of those things, like, you know, in the movies, they're always like using a dollar bill to like snort cocaine.
Yeah.
Like,
that's what I thought that was going.
I did, but like the fact that it could just like get into your bloodstream, that's terrifying.
Well, because the tiniest really amount of fentanyl can kill you. So imagine if you picked up a dollar bill, got some on your fingers, like touched your mouth or your face or something like that. That's so terrifying.
Yeah, oh my God. Super terrifying. And then again, I did not look into this. This is just an off-the-cuff conversation I had yesterday. And I was like, that's horrifying. She could have lied. So no, everybody look it up before you come at me. Yeah,
don't panic. It's okay. Yeah.
But now also, I had a personal experience happen.
Okay.
I used to work on the 3rd Street Promenade in Los Angeles. And if any of you listening aren't familiar, which most of you probably aren't, it's a very big mall where it's like touristy. It's right by the beach.
And, outdoors.
And they have performers in the street, like singers or dancers or whatever. Like, you know how at certain places, like they'll have a fake tin man who like is working for tips. Like it's just that kind of place.
Yeah.
And I was like in a parking garage or something and I saw like a $10 bill and I was like, oh, I'm going to just grab, like I'm going to pick it up. And I went to pick it up and like it pulled away by like a foot. And there was somebody like just pulling it away on a string.
Yeah. And I was like a gag.
Yeah, but he wasn't even filming me. I'm like, all right, this is just for your personal satisfaction. Like, this is wild.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God.
Like, because if you had been filming me, I probably would have walked over and, like, smacked your phone out of your hand and stomped on it because of the embarrassment. Yeah. But I didn't because I was like, you're not even filming me. Why are you doing this?
That's so funny. And I feel like... Oh, yeah. That's like my biggest, like, okay, when Jack saw that bill the other day, I looked around and she was like, is it okay if I take it? And I looked around for like a couple seconds, like, yeah, no, grab it.
But I know,
like,
that's I feel
a
like
huge
I'm,
fear.
I'm being huge. Filmed or it's like I'm part of a skit or huge. Something like that.
I was like 18 when this happened. I was working at the Guess on 3rd Street.
Yes, I know it.
Yeah. And I, retail job, like just figuring my shit out in college. And I was like, cool, $10. Like, I can buy, like, 2 Starbucks. And it was in a parking garage.
And you're scarred forever now.
Oh, yeah. Now I won't even... If it was, like, an envelope of money, I'd be like, I'm good. Like, an envelope of thousands of dollars. I'd be like, Because there's a catch. There's no catch. No, there's no such thing as a free lunch. I don't believe that. Karmically, something will happen. I don't believe in that anymore.
I agree. And also, you know, in 2022, how many people are actually using dollars? There has the likelihood of it being some sort of a
accident,
a skit or something filmed for TikTok or like something like that versus just a patron that dropped a $20 bill. Like you're better off not picking it up.
And I think you were living with the guilt. You're like, this money's making me uncomfortable. Let's give it away. I get that. You didn't earn it. It's not yours. And you know what? Like that's it's. The older I get, the more I understand people who are like, turn things in, even though there's thousands of dollars. It's like, no one wants it on their hands.
Yeah.
Do the right thing.
Karmically, it felt wrong.
If you're a good person, you're not going to feel good about it.
Yeah.
I came home the other day after I gave it away, and I told Jack about it, and she looked very relieved to know that it was like,
oh my God, I don't want this haunted $5 bill in my car.
Thank God. Thank God you passed that cursed... like pendulum, what is it, a medallion off somewhere.
Yes.
Like now we don't have to be burdened by it was haunted.
Exactly. Yep. Well, I feel so much better because I didn't know how I felt about it, and like now I feel validated for my feelings.
100%. Yeah. Because great. Your other two alternatives are fentanyl, possibly, if that's true, don't quote me on that, or
prank
someone
show.
Put up on a YouTube skit.
Honestly, the guy could have had like an erection. Like maybe I was probably wearing a dress or something. Like, ooh, people will bend over. He could have had a secret camera. Like, but he was up to something.
He was up
and
to
I
something.
Caught him.
Yeah. He was getting his jollies off somehow.
Yeah,
whether
it was
later
validating
or there.
Moment of his life. That's right.
Yeah. Okay. Well, guilty. And
guilty.
When we come back, it's time for some true crime rewind.
When I was growing up, I took French in high school, but I could never get the language to stick. I wanted to be fluent so bad, but it never happened. I just couldn't focus and I couldn't practice enough and it didn't work. But thankfully, there's Rosetta Stone, which is the most trusted language learning program, and it's available on desktop or it can be used as an app on your phone or tablet. Rosetta Stone is different. It immerses you in so many ways. And with its intuitive process, you can pick up any language naturally, first with words, then phrases, and then sentences. And before you know it, boom, conversations. Plus, with Rosetta Stone's true accent feature, you'll get feedback on how well you're pronouncing words. It's like having a personal trainer for your accent. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, the First Degree listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/first. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/first today. Eat stress-free this spring with Factor's delicious, ready-to-eat meals. Every fresh, never-frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian-approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes. Choose from a weekly menu of 35 options and more than 60 add-ons every week. What are you waiting for? Get started today and fuel up for all of your springtime goals. If you don't have time, Factor's ready-to-eat meals are on the table in 2 minutes. So you just get to eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, cleaning up. You really just heat and savor the good stuff without all of the stress. You can customize your weekly meals with as much or as little as you need. Plus, you can pause and reschedule your deliveries to suit your lifestyle. Factor is your solution to premium, fast meals without the need for cooking. And they're celebrating Earth Day all month long. So look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu for their lowest carbon footprint meals. I'm so busy, so it's amazing to just have Factor meals in the fridge for whenever I realize that I'm starving and I don't have any time to cook anything. They're amazing, they're healthy, and they keep you fueled all day long. Head to factormeals.com/degree50 and use code degree50 to get 50% off your first month, plus 20% off your next month. That's degree50 at factormeals.com/degree50. 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active. Hey, there's no reason to feel sad or guilty about the things you aren't using anymore. Whether it was a fancy dress you wore to a gala, expensive heels that only go with one of your outfits, or that crossbody bag from when you were in your music festival era. Somebody out there wants what you don't, and the real world makes it easy to get it to them. When your past becomes their future, everyone wins, especially the planet. For the real real, Earth Month isn't just another month. It's what they do every day. At any given moment, they're finding new homes for over 1 million unique items within their community of 35 plus million people. They're the largest luxury reseller in the world and making a tangible difference towards a more sustainable future for fashion. Resale reduces the amount of fashion waste in landfills, lowers greenhouse gas emissions, and offers an alternative to the cycle of consumption propagated by fast fashion. The RealReal has kept over 37 million items in circulation and out of landfills. This month only, new shoppers get 20% off when they shop on therealreal.com using code FIRST. That's therealreal.com using the code FIRST.
True crime.
Yeah, it's rewind time.
Okay, so, you know, on the topic of the moon landing, I think probably if you Google moon landing, one of the top Google searches that's going to come up is moon landing conspiracy. Because there's a sector of people out there that don't believe that the moon landing happened. And those type of people also don't believe that the Holocaust was real. They think that the earth is flat. Like, it's very, you know.
Flat earther people are very specific.
It's a type. Maybe, yeah. You know, whatever. It's a whole thing. So I thought that we'd go through the conspiracy of the moon landing and then also through some other space-related conspiracy theories. Because there's a conspiracy theory about everything.
Love it.
Especially it. These days. Okay, yes. So the main conspiracy about the moon landing was that it obviously didn't happen, and it was filmed on this secret film set that was located, depending on what your theory is, either high in the Hollywood Hills or deep within Area 51, and I like that theory better. Love an
Area 51? Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So much mystery.
So much mystery. And the whole smoking gun for this whole thing was that, you know, the picture of the American flag that's planted up there. So the flag in that picture is waving, and there shouldn't be any wind on the moon because there's no atmosphere. But in this picture, it was straight up and it had some, like, it looked like it was flowing in the wind.
Can I say something?
Yeah.
Okay. So we know that, like, all the important things in the world the photo is real, but like then it's photoshopped to resonate in a way like Kim Kardashian, you know, like she's this generation's Marilyn Monroe. Her waist is always like snatched and it's and then we'll see videos of her, like I follow this, all these Instagram accounts that out all this photoshopping.
Right.
And she's not, she's gorgeous. Her body's incredible, but like, it's not what she posted.
Exactly.
I think it was meant to inspire Americans.
You're saying they used a filter.
No, I just think they adjusted the flag to make this a patriotic mark. Or they used a papier-mâché flag that was stiff.
Or there was just a wire through the top of it. Because if I am a scientist who's able to put people on the moon,
you're going
to
know that that flag ain't standing up.
So we know that this is going to be probably the most important photo op in American history.
Yeah.
Like, maybe. And I don't know. I'm speaking from, like, I have no idea.
These are all hypotheticals, people.
That's what I would do. So,
or I mean, they knew how to edit though. They were already making movies. They've been making movies since like they either edited it or they did a little wire flag.
Well, and speaking of movies, a lot of people thought that maybe Stanley Kubrick had something to do with it and helped fake this moon landing because his film 2001: A Space Odyssey proves that the technology existed back then to artificially create a space-like set. So that is part of the conspiracy too.
By the way,
it was the old Hollywood glitz and glamour.
Have you seen that movie? And if so, when's the last time you watched it? Has it been a while?
Probably 10 years ago.
Oh my God. It looks incredible. And that's right.
He's a genius.
It looks amazing. And it's like a lot of the ideas, a lot of the things that were happening in that movie are like so relevant to like what we now think would look like. And it all looks so great. And I feel like, yeah, if someone did do it, which I'm not saying they did, and I definitely don't think that they did, that would have been a great guy to consult with though. I think.
Totally.
So.
Yeah. So that's the conspiracy theory. And in 1999, 6% of Americans said that they thought that the moon landing was fake and 5% said that they were undecided. So only 90% truly believed in the moon landing.
That's enough. Wild. That's the majority rules. Like
that doesn't that doesn't surprise me.
Look at the climate today. Everyone thinks crazy things. Like I'm not even going to say them because who knows what people are thinking now. But people go against the grain. People question our government, and it's no surprise that there's a percentage of people who do because there's some weird shit happening.
Yeah,
well, there's some weird shit happening, and like I heard a quote literally today that was like, conspiracy theories are more like future predictions sometimes.
They are a lot of the time.
Yeah, they are a lot of the time. So it's, you know, it's okay to question and doubt those who are putting out the official narrative. You should. You should always critically think.
Hey, you know how I know that it actually happened? And
how?
Jack, I don't know if you plan to cover this or not, but
the moon landing itself?
Yeah, the moon landing. So later on, I don't know how many years later, someone had approached Buzz Aldrin outside of like a conference or somewhere that he was at, and I'm pretty sure it's on film, it's on camera. He accuses him of being a fraud and never landing on the moon, and Buzz punches him in the face.
Oh shit.
Like just hauls off and just like blasts him right in the face and was like, you know, how dare you, like, you know, whatever. So when that happened, I was kind of like, well, that reaction is like the ultimate, like, he was like ultimately offended by this person.
No, it's like, how dare you?
You know, think about the risk that he went through. Like, he had a family, all that stuff to go up there and do that and be, you know, one of the first people.
Just the misery and like,
yeah,
you know how shitty we all feel when we travel? Your digestion gets all fucked up. You can't eat what you want. Your routine is a nightmare.
I'd never be able to go to the bathroom in
that's
space.
What I'm saying. Imagine going through like the training, the years of training he went through. The risk, we talked about the lack of technology, and he was like, hey, you could die 50-50. Like, we haven't even tested this shit.
Oh my God, I can't imagine how fucking terrifying that is.
Right, and I don't know that I would ever have had the courage to do something like that, you know?
I still don't. No way.
I would punch someone in the face for way less.
Yeah,
sure. I mean, I've never hit anyone in my life, but hypothetically, if I was proud of something and they confronted me about it, if I had a wine or two, anything's possible. No one should approach me on the streets. Definitely not after a nice dinner.
No, no. Okay, so our next conspiracy theory, and this is a recent one, very recent, is, and there's not like a crazy conspiracy for it, but there are a lot of people out there that think the James Webb images are not real.
Oh my gosh.
And some of the tweets about it, where was a good tweet? It said, a trick in photography is to put a sheer stocking over the lens pulled really tight. You get light sparkles. Welcome to 80s glamour shots, NASA. So somebody literally thought they were taking pictures through a pair of pantyhose. And that is how they got some of those images. How do you feel about that, Jared, who is an obsessive James Webb super fan?
I followed the story of this telescope for about 12 to 15 years. So this was like, if you were a huge like space dork, this is something that you've been looking forward to for over a decade. Like,
yeah,
possibly two decades. So I think that is just so insane. I'm pretty sure we spent $12 billion to get this thing made. Like, it's a very expensive piece of equipment, and they had one shot to put it up there.
Billion.
It's insane. The launch,
one piece of equipment.
It's insane. So I don't know. I mean, again, I don't definitively know, but
probably.
I mean, looking at it, especially comparing some of the stuff they've released compared to Hubble, like, it's pretty insane. And I do see one of the big things that people see, like, as like, it's not really a conspiracy, but the images that you're seeing, they've edited them. Like, you're kind of talking about like editing the moon photo, but like, they have to edit them to colorize them.
Yeah, they colorize all of them.
Right. So it's like an infrared camera that's on this thing. So they have to kind of, they're going in and based on the type of elements that they're detecting in these photos, they're kind of color coding them and making it look how the naked eye would probably see it. But yeah. Again, it's just
so they're not
interpretation of the image when you're seeing these colors.
So that one image of like the big, all of the clouds, and it's like, it's a whole pillar kind of a thing. What's that image called?
The Pillars of Creation.
Yeah. So that, all of the gorgeous, like, beautiful colors, that's actually what they think that coloring is. It's not just their chosen
right colors. They're not just, it's not, I don't think it's a process where they're just like guessing, but it's also like, it's based on
science.
It's something that it's interpretation,
chemical element reactions, right? Given what they know, what chemical compounds are in space and react with what and react with light.
Yeah
and the chemistry of it's super interesting.
It's very spooky.
I could see how people would see that and be like, well, that's not what it looks like. And that, you know, like, that could be some sort of...
Out? Well, you know what?
Have you been out there?
Every fucking picture of a fucking dinosaur you've ever seen, we don't know what color they were either. So if you're like, oh, that T-Rex is too green, it's like, based on what?
Yep.
The people we're doing saying our best. The people that were saying that would probably say that there were no dinosaurs. So
for sure.
But I'm saying, like, they color dinosaurs based on several variables. Lizards today, birds today, the food they had, what they know about how food colors animals. Like,
everything is just a theory.
It's
really.
Science.
Everything is a theory.
But science is theories.
That's right. Science is all theories.
Nothing is real, really.
Until it's not.
Okay, so the next conspiracy theory is, have you ever heard of Planet Nine, any of you?
No.
Either of you?
Planet Nine.
Planet Nine was a newly discovered planet that in 2016 they thought could destroy Earth. And whatever, in this article in April of 2016 that said it could destroy Earth in as soon as a month. So talk about fucking fear-mongering.
Oh my God.
I hate everyone.
I hate media, but... Yeah. So they're referring to this Planet Nine, a theoretical planet on the edge of the solar system, which I think is so funny.
Theoretical planet.
That's what I'm saying. Theoretical. If we
might not
see
even exist.
4.6 billion years into the past, how can we not tell if there is a planet on the edge of our solar system? Jared.
Well,
those astronomers are hurtful people. Physicists are hurtful.
I think there's a lot of different, maybe not planet sized, or maybe there are, but like, I've heard of a lot of things about like in the Kuiper Belt, which is like a field of asteroids, and there could be dormant, like big masses of, if you want to call it like planet size or whatever it is. Like,
I guess it's the same thing with Pluto, how they kicked Pluto out of the solar system.
Pluto's had a pretty rough time because they were like, it's a planet, it's not a planet, and now it's
so
like,
icy
is it a planet?
Over there.
I feel
it
bad
is icy.
For Pluto.
Me
poor
too.
Pluto. way out there all by his lonesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, poor guy.
But there might be planets.
Barely,
I don't know.
Tethered by gravity, just like wishy-washy, do we want you, do you not?
You know, he's like the kid that gets picked last in in gym. You know, when you're like picking sides for Red Rover, it's like he's the last guy that nobody wants to choose because he's like, is going to have a late growth spurt.
And you'd think it'd be Uranus, but it's not.
You'd think. It's not. Everybody accepts Uranus.
They need everyone's it for the LOLs. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. So the next one is, so there is this.
Uranus is the class clown for sure.
Oh, absolutely. So the next one is the poles, or at least, well, one of the poles of Saturn has this really weird hexagonal pattern around it. Like it's not round or circular like our poles here. It's this weird hexagonal shape. So of course the conspiracy theorists think that this was, you know, reasoning to believe that maybe aliens had some kind of base up there, or it was just stirring, you know, alien technology, or some people even said a gateway to hell, which I like that conspiracy theory better.
Yeah, here for that.
Saturn is a gas giant, so there's no solid ground to stand on. So if it was actually a structure, then it was floating in the middle of a bunch of poisonous gases. So
okay, I know we're supposed to keep this short, but like, what keeps the gas from dissipating into... Does it have its own atmosphere?
The mass of the planet? Gravity.
Fascinating.
It's like a dense, gaseous, ball. Yeah.
Amazing.
That sucks. There's no core. There's no solid.
Sounds
anything
like a foam party. Like honestly, it sounds like.
What's it like going into the center of Saturn and just being like around a lot of gases?
I feel like we'd make it work.
I know.
And full of death.
Yeah.
Full of and
yeah. You don't want
to
go in there.
The gateway to hell. I do. The hexagonal thing is fucking weird. That's even weirder.
Weird.
If
have
it's
you seen
just
the image?
Gas.
It's crazy.
Naturally formed perfect geometry is hard to understand.
It is hard.
In those things. Yeah.
What's that thing called? The logarithmic spiral. And I'm going to send you guys the example of it. It's basically, I'm going to say what it is. It's the curve for which the angle between the tangent and the radius, the polar tangent, is constant. So it exponentially grows, the spiral does, and it exists in nature from everything, but with like...
El Nino. I've seen it.
El Nino,
hurricanes, tornadoes, snails,
yeah,
galaxies,
like it just
the toilet
exists.
Flushing is also
yes,
this
exactly. It's a pattern that just exists everywhere in nature.
It's like where
but
have I seen that before?
The toilet flushing is based on gravity, I think, and it's different in Australia. It goes a different.
It goes
direction.
The other way. Different
yeah,
hemisphere.
It's fascinating.
It is fascinating. Okay, so the last conspiracy theory is that there is life on Mars. And this is because all of the images that NASA released, like people were hyper-analyzing them all and finding different things throughout the images. One of the images looks like there is a woman sitting on a rock. Another one looked like there is a squirrel laying down. Another one looked like a helmet.
There's a recent one that looks like a doorway.
A doorway?
Yeah, it looks like a doorway. It's really crazy.
That one's a little bit scary.
Yikes.
Yeah, that's
the doorway to hell,
spooky
like
about
in
that.
Saturn.
I know, right?
All right, well, I think that, you know, that about does it for all the space-related conspiracies that I found today, and I loved it.
Loved it. I loved it.
Honestly,
I could keep going for another hour.
These topical killing times are doing it for me, and I think there's something to be said about it, and I think we should maybe lean into that.
Yeah, I like it too. You know, we're all learning something too. New wrinkle in the brain for your wonderful Thursday.
That's right.
All right. Well, when we come back, we are hearing about all the worst things that you people have ever done.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Need a cold coffee with a bold flavor? Dunkin' Cold K-Cup pods were specially crafted for cold coffee. Brew over ice straight out of the Keurig coffee maker for smooth, delicious Dunkin' taste you know and love. Find your next Dunkin' Cold coffee in the roasted coffee aisle.
The legend of Cayman Jack is just around the corner. Mixed with blue agave nectar, real lime juice, and cane sugar for the perfect balance of sweet, salty, and sour every time. Discover legendary taste with Cayman Jack, America's number one margarita. Premium flavored malt beverage. Please drink responsibly. All registered trademarks used under license by American Vintage Beverage Company, Chicago, Illinois.
What's the worst thing you've ever done?
Come one, come all. It's time for a reckoning, if you will. Only a reckoning you want to have if you've called in and bore your soul to us. Bore your soul to us.
If you want to call in and tell us the worst thing that you've ever done, our number is 323-539-3516. That's 323-539-3516.
Yeah, because, I mean, we have some incredible stories, but we want more. Because this is the ultimate trust tree, you know? We're all in the vault. And I want to remind everyone that we use Google Voice for this, and mm-hmm. it'll literally be like, what's your name? And like, we never hear that. So you don't have to say anything. It'll just keep going. We don't know your name. Even if you say it, we don't know it. Even if you said it, we wouldn't air it. This is anonymous. Your secrets are safe with us.
Yes.
And yeah, let's just get on with our first one, shall we?
Hi, everyone. So I was one of your first degreeers a couple months ago, but I wanted to call in about the worst thing that I've done. I've done a lot of bad shit, I think, but let me background. My mom is a detective, and I am honestly shocked at the amount of shit that I got away with in high school, but this story is like the one time I like didn't get away from something. So I had snuck a boy over to my house really late at night. It was snowing. You know, I got the "you up" text, which in hindsight, I look back and I was like, oh my God, I was in high school. That's disgusting. But to each their own. We're here now. So I told him, you know, come in through the gate in the backyard, come up to the sliding glass door out back, and I'll let you in. What I didn't realize was that his footprints were in the snow and that it had stopped snowing after he had left my house. So the footprints were not covered up. So fast forward to the next day, apparently this was a school night, and I come downstairs and my mom is standing outside with like a bucket on the porch. And she's standing out there and she's on the phone, and I was like, what's up? And she was like, someone tried to break into our house last night. And I was like, oh, what are you talking about? And she's like, there's footprints. She's like, there's footprints from the gate. So they came in the gate. They came to the back door. I guess they couldn't get in, or the dog scares them away, and they must have left. She's like, the dog didn't even bark. We had a German Shepherd, and I'm thinking to myself, I'm like, it's because I gave her treats when the kid came over, and I locked her outside while we did the thing on the couch, which is horrible in hindsight. Sorry, Mom. Hopefully you never hear this. So I just was like, oh, okay. She's like, yeah, I'm going to call the state police and file a report. Because she was working undercover at this time, like doing narcotics, and she was like always convinced that someone was going to like try to kill her, which like I don't blame her. Obviously, she had reasons for thinking that. So she was convinced that like somebody had followed her, like found out where she lived and was trying to hurt her or hurt us. So I get in the car then to go to school, and my sister's like, you're an asshole. And I'm like, what? She was like, I know that was you. She was like, you better go inside and tell Mom before she calls the state police. So then I had to go inside like a walk of shame and tell my mom, Mom, that was the footprints of a friend. And now, mind you, she had never met this friend. She didn't even know that he lived in our neighborhood. And I just was like, he came over last night to hang out. I'm sorry, I didn't tell you. And she just kind of like looked at me, picked up the bucket, and she just goes, don't forget what I do for a living. And then she was like, have a good day at school. So that's the worst thing I think I've done. I think the worst thing I did was sneak boys into my poor mother's house.
First of all, your mom is no bullshit. She's like, I don't know what was in that bucket. I don't think we ever went there. Like, did you guys hear what happened with the bucket?
No, but
like,
I feel like
maybe she was taking a mold of the shoes.
That's what I was thinking.
Like, or I'm like, she's no bullshit. Like, don't even try. Oh, and maybe she wasn't, but like, what was the bucket for otherwise? Like, right. I don't know. But it's like, she was undercover. She was working undercover in a narcotics division as a detective.
Like, you and think you're like, going to pull one
by her? I can sneak people in. I love that.
Oh my God.
I love that for you, and I love that your mom. I just know that if I become a mom, and I could be so lucky if I decide I want to do that, not TBD with whatever. Point is, I would not beat my daughter up for that. I would be like, I will kill someone who's trying to break into our home. So you better just fucking tell me if you're going to do this shit and break the rules. But like, I love, she's like, take care of business, handling shit like, oh, these photos are already with the state police of these shoe prints. I know what size they are. I know they're from Nike. There's only 600 that's ever been made. Like, don't even bother.
Oh my God.
Isn't that amazing?
I love it.
It's so amazing. And it's like the perfect response to come from a mother in her position. Like, it's iconic. I love it.
No, and what's incredible is that you actually, this is a redemption story because like you told her, you didn't let her call the state police and embarrass herself. Like you didn't let her subject herself to criticism from, like, you literally were like, before this goes too far, I got to tell you the truth.
Exactly. Oh my God, I love it so
honestly,
much. Which is probably what she was baiting you to do anyway. So
maybe she knew, because maybe she's just a Hannibal Lecter type person like that, where she already knew, babe. Like, she was watching out the window and she just wanted you to do the right thing, and you did.
Yep.
God, I love
this.
You did.
You're incredible. You're good. And your mom is a hero. So we love that.
Yes.
On to the next. And also thank you to your mom for her service.
Hello, my dear, dear friends. In honor of Jack and Jerry getting married, I thought I would share this wedding-related firsty-worsty. It is by no means the worst thing I have ever done, but it is a secret I have never told anyone ever. So, related to all the wedding things that were discussed on this last episode, we were on the same page. I knew that he would be proposing at some point. You know, he knew what I liked ring-wise. He has excellent taste. Excellent. I love him so much for that. So he was, like, in charge of picking the ring. I wanted him to craft it however he wanted. He's a big nerd, so he was, like, doing geometry on, like, the table of the diamond to make sure it reflects the most light, like, whatever, all this shit I don't understand. However, because I am a nosy, curious person, I kind of had a vibe. And so I went into his email and searched the word ring, and I found the thread with the jeweler. I did not read further than the first sentence, which was, "You have been so patient, your girlfriend will love the ring." That is all I saw. But that confirmed for me that it was happening. And because I am a snoop and curious and nosy and cannot help myself, I am the person who would, like, peek at Christmas gifts and try to tape them back up the exact same way. I have never told a soul, and I will never tell my husband that I knew that he would be, you know, proposing soon-ish. Again, that part was not a huge surprise, but I know it would deflate him a little bit to tell him that, so I will take it to my grave. Love you all so, so, so much. Goodbye.
My friend, what you are guilty of is being a Slytherin and nothing more. I don't know if you're Harry Potter or what, if you're into that, but, like, you are me. I am, like, a moral person. But I can tote the line if I think it's a victimless crime and like my anxiety overwhelms me to a degree where I need to be like, I need to confirm this or I'm going to lose my mind.
Yeah.
That being said, it's a very crucial thing. This like girlfriend to fiance period. Like, and some people handle it better than others. sometimes it ends relationships. I'm not kidding. Like, I've seen, we're at this age, Jack and I and Jared, it's like where we're seeing these relationships turn into marriages and we're seeing relationships fall apart that should have been. It's a kind of crucial time where, like, expectations sometimes aren't met or whatever.
Yeah.
All that to say, you shouldn't beat yourself up, especially if you already knew you were on the same page. You were just curious, like, did he get the ring yet? Should I get my nails done? Should I anticipate it soon? Like, I think it's never okay to violate someone's privacy, but if you weren't doing it looking for a mistress or whatever, or cheating, like, I don't think it's that bad. I think it's kind of human.
No, it's funny. And like, she did say that she was the type of person that would like go and look and see what she got in her, for Christmas and her Christmas gifts and stuff like that.
That's
so
me.
that's just the type of person she
a
is.
Self, part
of
her a self spoiler.
You don't want to
spoiler.
Jack and I had this conversation this week at brunch where we were literally like, we don't like surprises. I don't want a surprise. I live in the future. That's what that anxiety is.
Yeah.
You know, I live in like the anxious future and I don't think you should beat yourself up for this. And I don't know that you set a time and place for when you did this. I hope that worked out. And I'd love follow-up information.
I'm sure it feels mostly good.
Yeah, the way that she was talking about her guy, I think that it ended up being okay.
Yeah, and you know what that means? That your dude accepts you for who you are. And like, as someone with tons of flaws.
Snoopy bitch.
There's nothing like being accepted. And I don't think there's anything wrong with what you did. I think it's who you are. And I think your partner understands it. And if you ever told him, he'd probably laugh and be like, I know.
Yep.
You know,
you're just a self spoiler. You're just a self spoiler. And honestly, you probably save a lot of time because people could just tell you the end of movies and you can just move on. You don't have to watch them, which that's great.
I love
that's,
that for her.
It's a great way to live. So
I don't really care about movies. I am you, frankly.
Yeah, there you go.
I don't either. All right. Well, Lex, do we have a Costanza stanza for this week's
honestly,
episode?
We do, but it's not what you think.
Oh,
last week went so well that I'm sending this. Because I'm trying to stay with the theme.
Okay.
And we can use like 30 seconds of Seinfeld whenever we want.
Okay.
Legally.
I'm listening.
All right, how about this one? Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
I gotta go zoo. I feel like I could set more of my own schedule.
But in the circus, you get to ride around on the train, see the whole planet.
I'm wearing a little hat, I'm jumping through fire, maybe a little alien head's in my mouth.
At least it's show business.
But in the zoo, you know, they might put a woman in there with me to, you know, get me to mate.
What if she's got no interest in you?
Well, then I'm pretty much where I am right now. Just got to take a ride on a spaceship.
I love that there is a Seinfeld clip for everything.
Honestly, like, my poems are out. Like, this is it.
We're doing clips from now on.
Well, at least, you know what? Honestly, my creative energy has been lower frequency than usual.
Yeah.
So this is like, I don't even have to worry about it. They have something that relates to everything we do.
It's
really incredible. It truly is. Like, it's pretty wild. I mean, that's so, well, it's not that specific, but it's
and
still
Lex,
pretty impressive.
You know what? When you feel like you want to start Costanzing again, the lane is open.
I'm just waiting for that inspiration because I felt good. And I'm like, Costanza drags me down because Costanza is like my neurotic side.
Yeah.
Like my neurotic, sad, self-deprecating side. And I'm trying to be uplifting.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, sometimes I channel other characters, as you guys know. Like sometimes I do a Lane disclaim.
Yes.
And a Kramer disclaimer.
Yep.
And a Jerry quite contrary.
I
so
love
you
it.
Know what? Like
you'll be back.
I know.
Don't pigeonhole yourself. You know, you'll come back even better.
I won't. And actually I'm on a creative sabbatical where shit's gonna come back bigger and better than ever.
I can't wait for it.
Me too.
All right. Well, ta-ta, my friends.
So long.
Happy moon day.
Happy moon landing.
Hey, Keurig coffee drinkers. Did you know that the bold, smooth taste of Dunkin' cold coffee can be brewed in your Keurig coffee maker and enjoyed at home? Dunkin's cold K-Cup pods were crafted to be brewed hot and enjoyed cold. And of course, they're packed with the Dunkin' flavor you crave. Brew over ice and sip in seconds. Because the home with Dunkin' is where you want to be.